we talked about the voice of faith. You have to say something to see something. Amen. And if you ain't saying nothing, you're not going to be seeing anything. And we thought last week we could get to the vision of faith and jump into it, and we were deceiving ourselves. And so this morning we're going to pick up with part two, which is the third message in this series. Mm-hmm. And this morning we're going to be talking about the vision of faith. Somebody say, yes. The vision of faith. Say it again, the vision of faith.
The vision of faith.
Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass." You know, you can stop right there.
It shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass. Afterwards, the stuff that you're going through is just the stuff in front of what's coming to pass.
Right.
"It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." They're going to say something.
Yes.
That's the voice of faith. Look at this. "And your old men shall dream dreams." They're going to see something. "And your young men shall see visions." This scripture does not say your young men shall have sight.
That's right.
But it says your young men shall see visions. We're going to be delineating the difference today between sight and vision. Because there is a difference. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
He didn't say you would have sight. Yes. He said they shall see visions.
Yes.
Amen. And there's an S on the back side of that. They shall see visions. Proverbs 29 and 18, that's the secondary scripture that we're going to be dealing with. It says, "Where there is no vision or prophetic revelation, the people perish." Mm-hmm. Where there is no vision or prophetic revelation, the people perish. Once again, as you take your seats, we're going to be talking this morning from the simple topic, the vision of faith.
Amen.
I want you to hear this. This morning, we're going to be somewhere right in this neighborhood.
Amen.
Just talking to you this morning. Amen.
Work with
us. Because we are faith deprived, but we say we have great faith. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. Because we say we have great faith, but we are faith deprived, and you only know it when you need it. Everybody has faith when they don't need it for something. And that's why you can look into somebody else's life and tell them what they ought to have faith for.
Right.
And that's why other people can look in your life and tell you, "Oh, child, just have faith in God." That the object of the preposition, yes, in God is the right object of your faith.
Yes.
But man, it takes something to have that faith in God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You don't just get there because you say you got it. Man,
yes,
you got to walk through something,
yes,
and you got to walk through the obstacles that,
yes,
present themselves in front of you,
yes,
and you have to go, you have to release your sight in order to see your vision.
Yes, yes.
You got to release your sight in order to see your vision,
yes,
and in order to see your vision clearly. The vision of faith, it deals with seeing things the way God wants us to see them.
Yes.
You got to catch this. Seeing things the way God wants us to see them. Minister Secret, if God wants to see you healed, regardless of what the surgery was,
right,
if your eyes show you anything differently than what God wants you to see,
right,
it's a faith attack.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? You got to see things the way God wants us to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we're operating in the vision of faith. But
amen.
many of us see things through our own lens,
mm-hmm,
first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to come back and find God in that thing.
Mm.
But God says, if you ever start seeing a thing through your own lens,
yes,
you become the object of your faith.
Wow. Wow.
You become the object of your faith. I have faith in yourself.
Wow.
If you ever listen to the doctor's report or any of those other reports, you see that becomes the object of your faith. But the Bible says have faith in
God.
Huh. You got to make sure the, wow, object stays in the right place. Matter of fact, next week we'll deal with the object of faith.
All right.
We'll deal with the object of faith next week. Amen. The vision of faith, it deals with seeing things the way God wants us to see them. How many of you know that faith requires vision?
Yes.
Faith requires vision. And vision is the word of God.
Yes.
You see, you got to see your solution in the Word of God, and that's what faith is. That's what vision is. Faith requires vision, and vision or the Word requires faith. So the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith requires vision, and vision requires faith. You can't have one without the other, but you have to have a fully developed image produced by the Spirit of God for what He's spoken to you concerning your life.
Yes.
If you don't see what God has said clearly,
something
is messing with your faith in that arena.
Yes.
You got to get this.
Yes.
You got to get that image of what God has spoken into your life, and you got to see it with a clarion view.
Yes.
There can't be any stains or spots. Those represent the buts and what ifs in your life. The buts and what ifs are the smears to your faith, and so they cause you to, without knowledge or knowing, question what God has already perfected. So you got to get a clear picture of what God has said to you. And this does not require your sight.
Absolutely.
This does not require your sight. You ought to be able to close your eyes and see this thing without ever even having to open your eyes and say, even if I was blind, I'm going to walk into this revelation and I'm going to walk into this destiny. My eyes is not even necessary see what God has shown me.
Don't need them. That's you saying something.
I don't need my eyes. They are a function of sight for my natural habits.
Yes. Oh, come on.
But my vision is what shows me my spiritual life.
Yes, you on it.
And too many of us confuse sight with vision, but there is a difference. Look at somebody say, there is a difference.
There is a difference.
There is a difference.
There
Take notes with
difference.
Us this morning. Sight is what you see with your eyes.
Yes.
You got your eyes open. Look to your left. You see a person beside you, but all you see is one extreme of their life, the exterior that they have brought out here.
Mm-hmm.
Vision will give you a prophetic revelation of what's going on the inside of them. And God can give you a prophetic unction that you're sitting next to me, but you've been through hell last night.
Yes, yes.
You sit next to me, but I see your breakthrough, and it's right over the horizon.
Yes.
And you saying, how do you know I'm waiting for a breakthrough? Because I've seen into you because of my vision. Your eyes can be deceptive because you can put on a suit and a vest and look good on the outside.
Yeah.
And so you can fool people with sight.
Wow.
But vision is rarely confused. Yeah. Somebody said there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Sight is what you see with your eyes, while vision is what you picture in your mind before you ever see it. You see that? Sight is what you see with your eyes, while vision is what you picture in your mind before you ever see it. Let me give you a vision test. We got the sight test. Look around. Everything you see is a part of your sight. Some may have glasses or whatever. That just clears the natural. Glasses does nothing for your spirit.
Right.
Doesn't make you any deeper. It doesn't do anything. You can drop them down on your nose.
It
has nothing to do with how much knowledge you got.
Bifocal,
that just means you ain't seeing too clear right now. You can drop them down. You can pick them up. That's just natural sight. But vision is having a picture before you ever see it.
Come
Watch
on.
This. Close your eyes. Red. How many of you see red? A red Corvette. How many of you see it? It's got cream leather interior.
Ooh. Convertible, drop the hood.
Gonna drop top on it. Uh-huh. Convertible. Look at this. It's got 22s on it with run flats.
Mm.
Anybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
What color was it?
Red.
Now watch this. I'm changing the car and I'm changing the color. A pearl white or a white diamond Escalade.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
sitting on 24th. How many of you see it?
Mm-hmm.
But is it parked in this room?
Mm-mm.
Vision takes you to that thing before it ever manifests in your life.
Yes.
And can't nobody tell you you didn't see what you just saw.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir.
Can't nobody tell you. Sight requires you to open your eyes, but vision sees this thing even if you don't have eyes.
Yeah.
You can close your eyes and still see everything that God has told you, spoke to you, and promised you. So I'm going to give you 10 seconds to close your eyes and look at the vision again that God gave you.
Yes, that's why.
When you get a good picture of it, I just want you to take a 10-second praise break that you got it again.
Yes. No longer an unbelieving believer. Come on, that's why so many believers aren't excited, because they're basing their excitement and their momentum and their enthusiasm on what they see with the eyes open. Folks say, why are you so excited? You look like you got it going on. I said, baby, when I close my eyes, my future is so bright. You got to wear sunshades. Because when we close our eyes, we see into our future. And when we can see what God sees, how many of you know that's the most exciting moment that we can ever encounter or experience? Can you stand to your feet and be excited and celebrate God for what you see in your future?
You see, watch this. Can't nobody else see the vision that God gave you? We can see your house. We can see your car. We can see your clothing. But can't nobody see that vision until you bring it out of you and manifest it in reality.
Yes.
Nobody knows what God has given you to bring out of you so that others can see. And so there are many people in the grave that their vision never manifested.
Never manifested.
They had sight in the earth realm, but they died with their vision.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They died with their vision, but the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, we walk by faith.
Not by sight.
We walk by faith and not by sight. How many faith walkers do I have?
Yes.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
We
walk
by faith. You can tell if someone's walking by faith or sight, because when asked the question, how you doing? If the response is based on natural, come on, sight-based response. Well, I'm not feeling good. Well, the kid's acting up. And if we release a response that's based on what we have seen, felt, heard, smelled or tasted, had a little taste
senses.
Of that, then that's how we know we're still walking in sight and not by faith. Is it a lie to say, oh, I am awesome, everything has lined up? No. It's not a lie.
It's a confession.
It's a confession. We talked about shifting from praying to decreeing. When you decree, honey, that's not a lie. You just calling those things that be not as though, not as they, as if they're going to be, but as though they already are.
Somebody drive that Escalade for me real quick. Just put your hand on it. Just drop down, man.
Oh, y'all know y'all will be rocking.
Just ride back with it. Go ahead and drive that thing for a minute. That's what you got to do with your faith. You got to be in it before you get in it.
You got
to drive it. And you got to have an imagination again
to
see what God wants you to see. You gotta be willing to look foolish in your house, and you gotta be sitting there and just wash the windows. And what you doing? I'm cleaning my house already before I ever get in.
Yes.
They gonna call somebody. They gonna call CSB. Get Toray to come over there and say we need a crisis evaluation. We got people out here looking through green glass, looking at the sun, talking about their windows.
Amen. Wow, y'all write this down. Say vision of faith.
Vision of faith.
One more time, vision of faith.
Vision of faith.
When someone wants to give you a visual, they paint a picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an amen? They paint a picture for you. So today we don't have a white canvas. We don't have paint brushes. We don't have paint before you. But what we do have is the canvas of your spirit.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. It's white, it's clean, it's pure. Come on. It's blank, it's empty. Your spirit. created me a clean heart and renewed the what? Right spirit in me, oh Lord. And then we begin to look at, and we got to have the spirit because it's not your mind. Because the mind can't comprehend what God is about to put on your canvas. So it can't be the canvas of your mind. It has to be the canvas of something that's pure and clean, which is your spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The paintbrushes are the word of God. Mm-hmm. This is the paintbrush right here.
Come on.
Spirit is the canvas. Jot that down. The paintbrush is the word of God. Come on. Okay, write that down. And the paint is your heart. And there's only one color that it'll produce. And it's red. No matter what God speaks to you as a leader or a lay member versus what God speaks to me and Pastor Charlie, we both have to cover it in the blood of the Lamb. We got to cover it in the blood. Jot that down. When we get the word in our heart, we can see, not with our mind, but by the faith of our spirit. Come on, our spirit is that which has access to the supernatural faith realm. That's our spirit. We'll begin to put the word in our heart. Come on, we got to hear his word. We got to read his word. We have to regurgitate his word. Come on, we got to get his word where? Somebody say, in my heart. Once we get it in our heart, then by faith, our spirit can see what God is showing us. Can somebody say amen? So now we deal with a lot of individuals that walk up on, in the natural, what God spoke to the spirit, and they turn their back on it because they don't have the word of God in their heart to show them in the natural what he desires to manifest in our lives. Because he's not going to manifest anything that's contrary to, somebody say, his word. Come on. So we walk up on the doctor report or the divorce paper. Come on. And we begin to say, okay, I will take that report. But if that's not based on the word of God, then how many of you know we cannot receive that?
That's right.
Something in our spirit. Come on. Have you ever been told something and your spirit just don't jive with that? Something in your spirit say, I don't know about that. Oh, your child, he needs to go to another room. Something in my spirit just can't agree with you on that, Nikki.
Come on.
It's because his word, come on, we have painted with the brush of the word in our heart, and we know what we are supposed to produce in that supernatural faith realm. Somebody shout glory. So now when we look at faith being superior to sight, however, too many of us walking by sight and not by faith, remember our scripture, Isaiah 55:9. It's critical that we understand that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. So just because we see our bank account, come on, we call ourselves broke. Yeah, we do. Oh, come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. How you doing? I'm broke. I ain't got a penny. I need to do this. I need to do that.
Child, we can't do that.
We can't do this. We can't do that. When the word says, my God, how many of us got a God in here that can supply, will supply
all,
not some, not half, not a third, not a quarter. Somebody shout all
but watch
needs.
This. Watch this. That's an easy scripture to quote, but it takes faith to walk
to
out the revelation out of that scripture. And so now we can quote that to make ourselves feel good in our emotion, but then we walk away from that scripture and we start talking back based on sight and not faith. We our manifestation and our action,
mm-hmm.
It says sight is leading, but our words are saying faith is leading, and that sends two confusing messages.
Mm-hmm. And sight don't move God. Faith does.
Faith is the only thing that moves God.
Why is God not moving in my situation? Because God isn't in the response of I'm broke and hardly making it.
Because without faith, it's impossible.
Think about it. Is God not moving in your situation? Are we walking in faith or are we walking in sight? Come on. Just because the doctor's report comes and we begin telling people, you know, I'm sick now. I've got this. I got that. But the word says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sickness and infirmity? How much more shall the blood? We see our marriage. I like this one because even though it produces an image, come on, an image of divorce and separation, even aside from what God has put together, let no man separate. I love the 1 Corinthians 7:14 because it says, even when you have an unbelieving spouse, did you know that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, and wife is sanctified through the believing husband?
Hold on. That's a faith scripture.
It's a faith scripture because they ain't acting right. Girl, let me tell you what he did today. If he do it one more time, I'm out the door. If he say it one more, do you know if I would have walked in sight and PC would have walked in sight, we would have been gone. We wouldn't be before you. But when you tap into that supernatural faith realm, you begin to say, you know what? That boy who always want to hang out with the guys, I decree there's going to be a change manifested in his life. Come on.
Sight separates you. You see, sight separates you where faith unites you.
I tell people all the time, man, I have more jealousy in me than a little bit. But thank God for a man who could reach over in the wee hours of the night and believe that his faith and power in the power and the blood of the Lamb was, come on, powerful enough to cleanse me in my disbelief.
That's it.
In my misery, in my frustration, in my agitation. Come on. He was able to lay hands and speak to that spirit. That's what, see, divorce means somebody wasn't willing to sacrifice the blood and the name of Jesus to the end.
Let me say this.
Wasn't able to walk in the power and the authority that you know you have, because the word says the unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife has been. Uh-huh. Not gonna be, not will be, has already been sanctified through the believing spouse.
Divorce is, let's look at divorce like this. Vision is one. So we say in this house, one vision, many assignments. Vision is one. In the marriage, there's one vision, but it can take on many assignments. When the marriage is led by faith, it stays united because the vision is going in the same direction. It's when the vision falls in the marriage that divorce and separation becomes an issue. They don't even come to the table when the vision is the same. We like Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The agreement is singular sight, singular vision. Divorce is when I get my sight and you get your sight. And I see what I want to see and you see what you want to see. And now we're looking at two different objects. And so now it pulls us apart because we can't see the same thing, because now we're no longer walking by vision, but we're walking by sight. You see, you want to be over there. I see, I want to be over here. And I'm not coming with you because you don't see what I see. And that's why we get these arguments going. You don't never see things the way I see them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any married people in here, raise your hand. Raise your hand. When you argue based on sight and based on perception of what you see alone.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Anything you want to say about that?
That's on point.
I think I dropped some revelation under the anointing that was above your head right there. And you're gonna need about a second.
So,
Ray, give me about five
get
seconds so they can catch up to where we are with this thing, man, because you're gonna need about 5 seconds to catch that revelation. Because in your marriage, as long as you have a common vision, divorce and separation is not an issue, because it doesn't matter how we get there.
Right.
There are more than one right answer to get to the same place.
Right.
And the bottom line is, I won't get there without you.
All right.
Matter of fact, I won't leave you and get there and wait for you.
Right.
Matter of fact, however long it takes for our vision to reunite and come to the same place,
yes.
I'll plant my feet and stand still until we get the same vision again, and ain't nobody going nowhere. I don't need a separation agreement to tell me to wait for you. I don't need a judge, a lawyer, or a doctor. I got the word of God that says,
yes.
What I have joined together, let no man, no issue, no behavior, nobody put asunder. So I'm locked into you.
What you said?
I left some stuff to cleave to you, and ain't nothing.
Yes.
There's no trick from the devil in hell that can change my sight concerning my marriage.
Come on. It does.
Ain't no married people in here ought to give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
You understand? I'm into this thing to death do us part.
Yes.
And so if the marriage is over, my life is
over.
Must
be over. Wow.
Take my life.
That's when you're dealing with a believing spouse.
But you see, that's a faith walk.
Yes.
That's a faith walk. Marriage is a faith principle, and so it's not to be taken or walked into irreverently or lightly, is what we say in the vows.
Yes, yes. That's good.
Look at this. Natural sight.
Yes.
Write this down. Natural sight reveals obstacles. Write it down. Natural sight reveals obstacles. While faith reveals answers. Write it down. Natural sight reveals obstacles. Your natural faith will always show you something more hard, more difficult than you can conquer.
Exactly.
And then your faith kicks in and say, you got the answer already in you.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is get out of sight and see on another level. Moses, when he got Pharaoh coming behind him and he got the Red Sea in front of him. You see, we train our children in faith and then we forget the faith that we taught them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were teaching them a principle that no matter what's behind you or in front of you, as long as you walk in faith, you'll overcome that barrier or that obstacle.
Yeah.
And so we like to go and get Moses and we like to say, man, old man Pharaoh and his army mm-hmm. coming up behind him and the Red Sea is in front of him. Mm-hmm. But then you see that there's a moment to have a lack of faith and say, man, we're going to die in this moment. But then he says, but I got the answer because I've been through this thing before. And now if I use what's in my hand. And so now what's in your hand is your experiences that you've already had with God.
Yes, yes.
See, Moses' stick was the reminder of previous encounters that he had with God, and he had already gotten the victory. And so now when you look at your obstacles and you get a reminder of what you've already overcome, your faith kicks in and you speak to the obstacle in front of you.
Yes.
You see, you're able to speak to that obstacle, and you can say like Moses, you can say to the Red Sea to open up.
Yes.
And not open up and leave mud in front of me that I got to get stuck walking to a thing, but open up and let the ground be dry that I can walk across unimpeded in the vision and the direction of where God is calling me.
Yes.
Somebody got to elevate your faith. So somebody's in this room right now and your faith, and I'm talking to you about the vision of faith, but you're seeing me in a distorted image because my words are not penetrating that obstacle in front of you. My words are coming to you. Our words are coming, but you still see that obstacle, and your faith won't produce the picture that you already got the victory.
Yeah.
Natural sight reveals obstacles, while faith reveals answers. Waverly, you preached this scripture a couple of weeks ago up in Williamsburg. Let me borrow a little bit of it from you. Luke chapter 5, 17 through 20. When I talk to you about this house and there are more than one leader and different types of leaders and people are leading, Waverly is leading the worship ministry, but this man of God has a call on his life to pastor.
Yes.
You see, so he's out preaching, and it's hard for him to worship lead because he's trying to get out of that and get into his real call, which is leading and preaching. And so Waverly went to Williamsburg and did a revival or something, and he preached from Luke chapter 5, and we were talking, and I said, man, that scripture's in our notes, 17 through 20. Natural sight reveals obstacles while faith reveals answers. This word says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Let me just say that in this room. The power of the Lord is present to heal.
Yes.
Because we're talking about faith. Somebody need healing, you need to just reach up your hand and
grab it.
You can grab that right here in this room that we're reading about
Jesus
now
name.
Because we believe the presence of the Lord is in this room.
Yes.
And wherever he is and the word is going forth, and especially the word of faith, the power of the
yes.
Lord is in that room
yes.
to heal.
Yes.
And you got to grab that thing in the room
Jesus
that you're
name.
In. You understand that? And behold, look at this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man, which was taken with a palsy. He was paraplegic. Mm-hmm. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Look at that. That's an obstacle.
Yes.
They sought means. They looked for ways to bring him in. And the word says, and when they could not find a way, or when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, the doors are blocked, the windows
yes.
are blocked, every way to get this man in on this mat is blocked up. And so the natural response was to go back home and say, well, maybe these many people won't be here tomorrow night.
Maybe we
come back tomorrow. And many of you have walked away from places
wow.
because it looked like you couldn't get in.
Wow.
You at the right place at the right time, but what you saw, the crowd got in your way.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you read about the woman with the issue of the blood that says, if it's too many above me, I'll get in my faith and get down low and get on my knees. And even if I got to crawl through them to just get to him, I'll do the foolish thing in faith.
Yes.
So we see this scripture. They say we can't get in through the door. We can't get in through the window. Ain't no way to get around it. But we know the answer is in that house.
Yes.
They couldn't get in because of the multitude. So look at what they did. They went upon the housetop, the rooftop. And they let him down through the toweling with his
yes.
couch
yes.
into the midst before Jesus. They made the first sling. They created the first elevator.
Uh-huh.
They said, if we can't get in on the first floor,
go above it and come down.
We going to the second floor. And it ain't but nothing, one thing about it, we coming in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we got to take the roof off.
All right, all right.
You see, that's a faith assignment where they went upon the housetop. How many are you willing to be bothered by your faith?
Mm.
How many of you are willing to deal with the obstacle, but then allow your faith to kick in the ingenuity so that you can say, if we got to create a way get into this thing, wherever my answer is, I won't be denied.
Come on now.
I will not be denied. I'm getting in this house, and we can deal with the bill of repairing this man's roof later. Bro, when I'll come back and pay you for the hole that I put in your roof.
Yeah.
I know it's personal property destruction. But don't call the police on me because my healing is in your house.
Yes.
And some of you got to go beyond natural law,
yes.
natural sight, and natural means to break into
come
your
on.
Faith
come
arena.
Come on, come on.
Some of you got to have an anointing of a criminal and do some criminal things to break into the room so your faith can be released.
Got to take back what the enemy thought he stole from you.
Huh. Look at that thing. Look at that thing. When they went in, the owner of the house
wow.
ain't had no problem with them. They let this man down on the couch in the midst before Jesus. And look at this. Look at this. And when he saw their faith.
Come on.
You can't see faith, but Jesus can see your faith.
Yes.
And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, this thing messing with me. He saw their faith, but
yes.
he healed him.
Yes. The faith of those around you does
count. Somebody missed that.
Somebody
say again, missed that.
The faith
you ain't even really got
you.
To have faith,
does,
but you can get
difference.
Some people around you that's got faith. He saw their faith, but he healed him. The man on the mat didn't say nothing, didn't do nothing, didn't ask for nothing, didn't even matter. All he had was a condition, but the people with faith had
all
the
right.
answer.
Huh.
You got got to reach up and grab somebody around you.
Grab
just
them.
Touch somebody.
Come on.
And say, I need you to get in faith.
I need you to get in faith.
Touch him, touch him, touch him. I need you to get in faith.
Get in faith. Come on, somebody say, pull me up. Bring me in. Come on,
I
can't do it by myself.
I need to pull you up by faith.
But I believe
my
that you're
faith
operating
will get you there.
At a greater level of faith. And if I could just grab hold of your faith, I don't even have to work for this, Minister Roger, but your faith will just elevate and bring me into the manifestation of my promises.
If you can get faith, he said he saw their faith and forgave his sins. So it don't matter what you did last night. You got enough faith around you that will rub off on you, and he'll forgive you in the middle of this room.
Sometimes we enter a season where we have to cut off faithless people because it holds us back and keeps us down. Come on, that's not the place that God desires us to be. It's not wrong to cut off faithless people when we are what? Embracing faithful people. Hallelujah.
Watch this before you go. You can be in a room full of people and it's not an indicator that there's any faith in that room.
Hmm.
You see, you can be in a room full of people and call it church. And there's no indication that faith is in that room with you. Because when faith shows up, stuff jumps off.
Yeah. Yes.
When faith shows up, things start happening around you
wow.
that changes things on the inside of you. Do I got anybody in here with faith? Give me three faith-filled people in a warm environment that'll get past what you feel and give God a praise for what you see in your midst.
Yes, yes, yes.
Somebody over here need to get in faith.
Yes.
Right up in here, you need to get in faith. Somebody need a faith revelation. Somebody need to charge your faith. Somebody
charge.
Need to hit yourself
charge.
And wake up from that slumber.
Charge.
Wake up from that sleep. Wake up from that nightmare. See your vision again. Get your faith back. Some of you been sleepwalking on your faith and you ain't been seeing the right thing.
Jesus.
My.
I see people with their eyes closed in the room.
Somebody better see it.
And I see you regaining your faith back. I see you painting the picture in your spirit. I see you bringing it back to life again. The energy,
see
the
yourself.
Excitement. Woo, for what God has spoken is reviving itself on the inside of you. I just feel it. Look at that marriage going, it's going to live again. They're looking at those children and seeing obedience again.
Hey.
They're looking at the finances to fund that business and that vision, and they're saying that it shall and it has come forth again. All that I had believed in days of old, it's back. It's in. I see it again.
It shall live
over.
And not die.
It's not dead. It's not dry. It's water.
It shall live and not die.
It's refreshed.
Huh.
It's revived. Because I see it as so. Huh.
You got to get a revelation of that thing. There's some stuff going dormant in your spirit. And you've let some stuff fall asleep in you. That you got to wake up again. And it won't wake up in the natural. It's going to only wake up in your spirit.
In the spirit.
Huh. You done let some stuff die because you haven't dealt with it in 90 days. But this is your day of resurrection. This is your day of revival. This is your day of renewal. This is your day of new hope and new life. I dare you to wake
Woo!
Up again.
Jesus.
Arise, O slumber. Wake up from your sleep. It's time for your vision to come to life.
Jesus.
it's time for your vision
to come to pass.
It's time for your life to begin. Arise from that desolate place. Arise from that drunken place. Arise from that stupor. Wake up your faith.
Wake up. Remove the problem and display your faith.
What you see, what you see.
You can send your faith ahead of you.
What you see, what you see, what you see. Not with your eyes, but what you see. Your body will be an indicator that you're seeing what God promised.
Yes.
It ought to be manifesting where your body ought to begin to respond to what you see in your spirit. What you see. If you don't see nothing, you don't do nothing. But if you begin to see what God has shown you for real,
you're able to honor Him. You're able to bless His name. You're able to celebrate Him.
I got
you're
my
able
vision
to appreciate
back.
Him. You're able to give Him thanks.
I got my vision back.
In advance. Because
I can
of what
see
you see
this
him
thing
doing.
Again.
Where you see Him going. What you see Him taking you into. You're able to say, thank you, God. Because in the faith realm, I'm already there. And in the natural realm, I'm walking into the natural manifestation of it.
You ought to see this thing, not with your natural eyes, but with the eyes of your spirit. You got to see it like God sees it.
Ooh, when you see it, you just love and honor Him, don't you?
Look at it, look at it, look at it.
Thank you.
Take a moment and see this thing. When you see it again, begin to give God praise for restoration of vision.
Woo, restoration. I can see clearly now.
Give Him praise for your vision is restored.
That's a major deal when your vision is restored. Because you don't feel defeated no more. You don't feel denied any longer.
Some of you have been pallbearers for your own vision. You help carry it to the grave because you don't see nothing. But it's time for you to take your hand off of that casket and put your hand back on this word and say, I command you to live again. I command you to live
again.
You shall live and not die and see the glory of the Lord.
On the inside of me. Come on, just lay hands on your belly. The housing unit of the Holy Ghost. Just lay hands on that canvas that the enemy tried to distort. Come on, and pervert. Come on. He decided that he wanted to cancel and abort. Come on, lay hands on that belly and begin to call life back into that baby so it can leap again. Speak to that spirit and say, I see my future. I see my hope. I see my dreams. I see my marriage. I see my family. I see, come on, y'all. I see my finances. Overflow. Overflow. Somebody been at average long enough. But this weekend we learned that average is two steps from the beneath and it's two levels up from the A. So in the middle is not a place for us to be. The Bible says we're to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And our faith will take us higher. It'll take us into that realm that only we can attain in the supernatural. Come on, just reach up and grab it. You know what it is. Nobody knows like you know. But if you believe in angelic activity, come on, see, faith is the only realm that can operate and release angelic activity. Come on. Then you're able to dispatch your angels. That's why Jacob laid his head on that hard place. But he saw the angels ascending and descending. Come on. Upon the ladder. And it's because he knew that he was operating in the earth realm, but he had a supernatural faith realm. And in that encounter, he was able to dispatch those angels. Somebody's been worried to death about those children. I dare you to just dispatch those angels. You're dealing with someone who sat in the room in her office and didn't see the checkbook lining up with the vision. And as I looked out upon the skies, I remember dispatching my angel Gabriel and said, go get the finances. Bring the resources to me that I need, because I can't go gather it all alone. Just reach forth your hand and dispatch your angel. See, I see you in my spirit. You've been working and toiling and tearing, and you've just been struggling, and you've been tired and getting frustrated because you're trying to do it in and of your own. I dare you, under the sound of this word, to lift your hand and dispatch your angel. To go into that supernatural faith realm. See, you got to believe for yourself. That's why person A gets what they need and person B is still in that same place year after year struggling. Dispatch that angel to go retrieve what you're standing in need of, to cover that wayward son or daughter. I dare those wives or husbands to dispatch that angel to go tap that unbelieving spouse on the shoulder and whisper a prophetic decree in his ear or her ear. Dispatch them now. In the faith realm, angelic activity takes place.
Hallelujah.
Just put your hands together and celebrate God.
Look at this.
Because after you believe him to do a thing, you don't wait for it to manifest to celebrate him. You celebrate him in advance of his doing. In advance of the physical manifestation.
Look at this.
You celebrate them in advance of the physical manifestation.
Because you see it beforehand.
I shout it on top of the zero bank balance.
I shared with some guys the other night that your sight is always behind what you really see. Because even with sight, vision shows your thing beforehand. And last week I was looking at a television show and they was doing a study to see how what we see has already happened before we see it. And so they threw a football across the screen and they said, mark the spot where you saw the football. And everybody was picking the spot and you could do it from your house. And then when it would come back on, where you thought you saw the football was behind where the football was. And so they said, let's give a marker. They put a red light on the screen to give your eyes something to focus on. And they threw the same football and they said, stop the football where you see the red light. When you see the flash, mark the spot where the football was. And so you could see the red light in the football. And the football was always, it was always seemingly somewhere different than where you saw it. When you saw it, it was here, but when they came back to show you the real thing, it was already here because it had already taken place. Your natural sight, they say, is milliseconds behind what takes place even in the natural, and that's why you can respond to danger before the danger happens, because you can see it before it takes place.
Wow.
That's why they say in the championship game, when Ray Allen shot the shot, Cole and all of them was already shouting before the ball went through the net, because they saw it go through and it was already in before the ball hit the
wow.
net. And they were dancing milliseconds before the
wow.
ball fell through the
Jesus.
Net, because vision takes you in front of sight. But when you're led by sight
wow.
and not by faith, this is where some of you are, and you need to respond to this. You see us pretty clearly right here, right? You see, we didn't get a chance to deal with these five hindrances to your faith, five hindrances to the vision of faith. So we're going to do the men next week. We're going to come back and deal with the five hindrances, and then we're going to deal with the object of faith. I just told you where we are for the next 3 weeks. That's called vision.
Amen.
We're not there yet, but I told you where we will be, and we will have already been there before we get there.
All right.
You understand this? It's called vision. You see me sitting right here, right? You see me standing up right here. Mm-hmm. If you see me sitting, something wrong with your sight. You see us standing.
We stand.
We're fairly clear. Look at the screens. Turn the lights down on the screens over on the sides. You see us on those screens? That image reflects the image of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And that image ought to look just like us. Because anything that's off on that image does not represent who we are. And so we would be the image of faith. That would be the image of sight.
Yes.
So now, Al, what I want you to do with the camera, because somebody got to change the focus on their vision. I want you to distort the image, and I want you to take us out of focus. Take us all the way out of focus as far as you can on that camera. Take us out of focus. Look at how we began to become blurred.
Come on, come on.
Look at what the image begins to look like on the screen. It don't look like what the God said in faith and the natural. Just take us out of faith, Alan. If you can do any tricks with us, make us tall and make us short and do something, because it shouldn't look like who we are. It's a distant object from you now. Sight makes what God said look so far away from you and so fuzzy that you don't even make out the picture, and you can't even really tell that it's you that he's talking to. But vision is when you take your eyes away from the sight realm and you come back and begin to look at us in the, in the spirit, and you say, man, they're so much clearer when I see them up there than when I see them out there. As a matter of fact, the image is faded, but you know that we're still there somewhere, and that's where your vision is right now. Your vision is behind this screen and is in the midst of that cloud, and you know it's out there, but you can't even see it anymore. But I'm about to say to you, this is the day that your focus is coming back. Begin to walk us back in focus and begin to bring us back and bring clarity to the screens.
Because even though that's distorted and portraying a false picture, you know what the real deal is. Come on.
The real deal
is what did God say about the situation. The real deal is standing closer to you than you know. It's the word that's been released and pronounced in your heart.
There are many under our voice that you've had. You've lost your vision for what God spoke into your life. The obstacle that I want you to overcome is pride.
Yes.
And I want you to come to this altar and say, I want my vision back.
I want my vision back.